I've had a lot of time on my hand to think, and I always study, but I don't always get to think about things like I want to, and I've had a lot of time. So turn to the book of Ezra, turn to chapter, if you will, chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And while you're turning there, I want to give you a little review of what's going on. In chapter 6 and 7, it is confirmed by King Darius that the Jews have permission to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. And he even goes so far as to give them supplies to do that. And Ezra wants to rebuild the temple. He wants to fix it up again. And then years later, work had halted. And in chapter 7, Ezra gets permission from a later king to go to Jerusalem and finish the work. And then in chapter 7 of Ezra, verse 10, it says, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. Now, Ezra begins to get his heart right with God. He wants to go back to Jerusalem. He wants to rebuild the temple and fix up everything there. And he has to prepare his heart to see the law of God. In other words, the will of God, what God needs done, what God wants done, and how God wants it done. And then, after he learned that law, he was preparing his heart not only to do it, but to teach it. And that's what brought on this new king, Artaxerxes. He recommissions the prophet Ezra to go to Jerusalem in chapter 7 and to continue the work that had been hindered. And then in chapter 8, Ezra arrives in Jerusalem and delivered a sacrifice, the first time it had been done in years. In chapter 9, Ezra announces that the people of Israel had lost their separated position with God by intermarriage with unbelievers, non-Jews, and how they had lost the favor of God because they had disobeyed God. He'd given them strict directions. You go to Israel, you don't intermarry with those people that are already there. But they did. The men took wives, lots of wives. And if you know, back then it was plural wives. And if you'll remember the story of David and Solomon, those heathen wives corrupted those men. Because those men wanted to show them favor, they would let them build altars in their house to idols. And sacrifice to idols and worship idols. And they even went so far they let them do it in the temple and on the hilltops and in the forest. And so Israel as a nation has been corrupted by unbelievers, non-Jews. And they knew better. But you know, after generation after generation after generation, a little here and then a little more the next generation, and then a little more the next generation. It only takes about 3 generations to be completely away from God and out of God's will. And that's where they were. They've let the temple fail. They've let things fall in. They've stopped sacrifices like they ought to. In chapter 9, he announces that the people of Israel had lost the favor of God because they had no longer become separated from the world. Then in chapter 9, I want to read you verse 1 through 15. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 15. That's where my real message is. And these days that we live in, this is more and more on my mind, so much so. And I want to stir your mind. The Bible says stir up your mind. I want to stir your mind and your heart to think about what's going on. Now you, a lot of you locked in your house. You can't go anywhere. And those that go to work every day, you come home and you just stay at home. And you got a lot of time. You can turn off that TV, turn off that computer, get your Bible and study. In chapter 9 of Ezra, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons. So that's two generations. So that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. In other words, their leaders. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and I plucked off the hair off of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonied or astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished even until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garments and my mantle, that's a sign of remorse, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For in our iniquities, are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God. That means undeserved favor. To leave us a remnant to escape. There were some that had not done these things. And to give us a nail in this holy place. That's all that kept it there, was those, that small remnant kept it right with God. That our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by the servants and the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess, it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now, therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, neither seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that our God hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. You know what he did? This is his confession. He got back. He got back to Israel. He got back to Jerusalem, and God showed him why things were falling apart. God showed him why God wasn't smiling on them anymore. God plainly taught him his commandments and why the trial and the tribulation and the desolation of Israel was happening, why they were attacked by other people, why they were defeated. And he said, and in the church we would say, you've mixed the world with the church. There, they mixed Israel with the heathen world. And they were so wanting to be popular to those around them that they transgressed the commandments of God. And God took his blessings off of them. But it says he held just a little grace, just a little bit of grace he kept there. Just a little bit of grace. Undeserved favor. He could have wiped it out. And it says that grace was in a remnant of people in Israel who had not defied him, who had not mixed with the heathens of the world, but who had stayed true. And now God was going to use that remnant to revive them again. And Ezra, all Ezra could do was confess. That's all he can do. And by the way, folks, that's all we can do. We're living in a time where the church is so much intertangled with the world and the people of the world and the things of the world, and they want the world's favor, and they let the world in the church, and boy, he condemned these heathens. He called them off. God did. And boy, we're afraid to call out sin because we'll offend somebody and hurt somebody's little feelings, you know. So we just put up with it, and we've put up with it, and we've put up with it. And now it's stolen our children, and now it's stealing our grandchildren. And it won't be but one generation. There won't hardly be anything but a remnant left. And what we need to do is do like Ezra and fall on our face with our hands up and say, God, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of your blessing. But we need them and we want them and we seek your face. Wilt thou not revive us again that your people may rejoice in thee? In verses 6 through 8, he gathered them together. He got all those people together and he told them what God said. He preached to them. Now, I know a lot of people don't like preaching. They say, don't preach to me, but that's always been God's manner to reach mankind is preaching. If you got saved, somebody preached to you. We call it witnessing, but it's preaching. And so he got them all together, and he told them. In verse 6 through 8, I'm about to run out of time here. Look at chapter 10, verse 6 through 8. He says, and Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout all Judea and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. And that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance would be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. My goodness. They gathered them together, said, you got a few days to get here. If you don't get here, we're going to give away your family's property and your possessions. And, we're just going to, separate ourselves from you. It looks like you don't want to be a part of us anyway. Well, what would it be like that in the church today if that, the crowd that don't come once a year got separated or twice a year, you know? And, man, the world, the churches and the world would call us mean. But hey, they gathered them together. They warned them. Now look at chapter 10, verse 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. And it was the 9th month on the 20th day of the month. And all the people, look at this, sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter. And for there was great rain. Man, it's pouring down rain. They sat in the street to hear the man of God, waiting to hear the man of God. They sat in the rain, cold rain, trembling Number one, because they were afraid. Number two, because they were cold. In verse 10, and Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. In other words, we're trespassing against God. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. And separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Oh, my goodness. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. He got them to confess their sins. He got them to turn from their sins. And let me tell you something, that still works today too. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and verse 5, so it must have been real important, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And if we're going to believe on Christ, we have to repent, turn from our sins, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these people did. And that's what we have to do today. Even Christians have to do that. Sometimes we have to stop what we're doing. God convicts us, and we have to stop. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we'll do that and turn, then God will hear our prayer. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm just about out of time, verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this still works. This has worked all the way through the Bible, and it's a Bible principle called separation. Nobody wants to talk about it. It doesn't get raised a lot of money. Your offerings won't stay real high. Your popularity won't be real good, but we as Christians have to do some separating in our lives too. Look at verse 14 in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We're supposed to be children of light. And what concord, that means agreement, contract, hath Christ with Belial, that's the devil. Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel, that's somebody that refuses to believe. And what agreement hath the temple of God, that's us, with idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Why? What for? Because of what he just said. Come out from among them. Who? The infidels, the unbelievers. And come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, that's anything of the world, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He takes care of his children. He takes care of his children. Separation. Israel knew they were supposed to be separated from those unbelievers and those heathens because they would influence them as they did, and it would destroy the nation of Israel as it did several times, and that God would chasten them as he did several times to get them back where they ought to be, back on their knees, back on their face, turning from their sins, separating themselves from things of this world, and obeying him and following him. And same way with us. Now I think, I'll be honest with you, I think maybe where we are today with this virus and stuff, this gives us a good opportunity to think about this stuff. We need to separate from some things. We need to separate from some people. We need to separate from some practices. And we need to go to God and say, God, I knew that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. That's interfered with my spirituality. I'm not getting the blessings I used to. And God, please. And then the church needs to do that. The church needs to clean it out and get rid of the worldliness and all these things and turn back to God and separate ourselves. Now, we got a lot of time to think about that. You're separating yourself now from sickness and everybody that's sick or maybe sick. Now's a good time to think about spiritual separation. God will bless it. He'll honor it because he's one that ordered it. So this week, I've been talking more about that, thinking more about that. Lord, help us do that. Help me to do more of that. Help us all. And that'll save our children. It'll save our grandchildren and our future descendants. Looking forward to seeing you back at church. I miss you a lot. Call me if you need me. Love you. Father, bless the invitation. Save that sinner nearest hell. Reclaim that backslider. Bless that saint. Heal that sick one. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Good night.
9 comments on here.
I never even turned down.
It was loud and clear.
It was, but it didn't record.
No, I think it picked up on the microphone. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I think it does too. I wouldn't know why it would.
In fact, we're probably recording this right here.
Yeah.